Welcome back. Well, Gold Fields has bounced back in the first half of the year. The miner turned net cash flow positive earlier than expected as it swung from a loss of $367 million to a profit of $71 million. And as a result, the interim dividends tripled. The company expects its cash generating ability to increase in the second half of the year right through to next year. And Nick Holland, CEO of Gold Fields, now joins us on the line with more detail on this turnaround we're seeing. Nick, thanks so much for your time this evening. So over this earnings season, all that glistens has proven to be gold. It's your two-year investment program into mines and new projects that's been paying off, with higher production offsetting that lower dollar gold price. But digging deeper, this really is a Ghana and to an extent Peru story, isn't it?
Well, it is. But we have to remember that Australia, we also brought a new project on stream at Gruyere, and now Australia will make up very close to 50% of our production. And that's been a mainstay of the operations. Ghana's doing very nicely. We've added Asanko in, and that's increased our production. Peru has been rock solid. But I think overall, I have to say, from an operational perspective, everyone has done at least what we expected and probably more over this period of time. So we can have no real complaints about the operational performance.
Nick, and that working to boost the group's cash-generating ability moving forward, as I said at the top, as CapEx reduces and these kind of production contributions increase, do we necessarily see a tighter grip on all-in sustaining costs? Because, yes, it's fallen in Ghana, Peru, even South Africa, but that being offset by all-in sustaining costs in Australia ramping up 26%.
Yeah, there's a couple of things in Australia that are unique, in the sense that we built a new accommodation village for $40 million at Agnew. It's a once-off. It's got a good payback. We also transitioned from open pit to underground largely at Finive. And we also mined a lot of material last year that we couldn't process, and obviously wrote off those stockpiles as we processed them this year. So some accounting adjustments on costs, but the business is in good shape in Australia. We're confident on our guidance for the year. And I'm pretty sure that next year, with Gruyere coming in at probably around about $1,100 or so for next year, we'll see the overall cost coming down for the region and for the group. So, yeah, we're on track to continue to reduce our costs as we've done this half compared to the previous year's half.
Nick, let's look at South Africa's South Deep, seeing production down 5% year on year. What ramps that higher moving forward? Because this is a mine that's been restructured and replanned now a number of times.
I think what you've got to look at is look at the second quarter against the first quarter. The first quarter was always going to be difficult post the restructuring, recalibrating. But the second quarter has shown what we can do here. We've gone up almost 70% on production. Our costs now are at 590,000 rand a kilogram. And in the second quarter, we made cash. So we're starting to see the fruits of our work over the last year. And I think if we can continue that, then we're on track, as we do believe we are, to achieve our guidance on production and costs at South Deep. So a culture change with the restructuring. We're starting to see better performance. But we know it's early days. We've got to continue to embed it. And we'll give you a better update as to where we are at the end of the year. If we can continue this, I think we can be in reasonable shape going forward.
You've been pretty emphatic, Nick, about the operating culture having shifted on this end. You've retrenched, of course, a third of your workforce, and that reducing exposure to labor. So one can imagine that in itself has had a significant impact. To what extent does it go beyond that?
Well, I think now what we've got to do is we've got to improve productivity. We've got to improve the whole value chain, and we've got to build on the momentum we've created. And I think in addition, if we can focus the bulk of our mining going forward into the new areas we've developed, we're going to see the requisite rewards. You know, the bulk extraction in new ramps, well-supported ramps, good access with redundancy in the infrastructure, that's going to be the secret over the next 2-3 years.
Does that overall, does the overall operating climate in South Africa support that business plan? Because labor is one thing, but then you've got, you know, the regulatory environment, policy, and basic infrastructural constraints to consider as well, chief amongst which is power.
Yeah, look, certainly we need to find a solution for power. You're quite right. The way that power is increasing in cost and whether there's going to be full availability is a question. We've got a solar project in for approval. which would actually amount to about 20% of our power coming off the grid. And if we can get that in operation over the next 12 to 24 months, that'll make a big difference. In terms of our people, what we're trying to do with our people now is get more productivity out of what we have, reskill people, retool them, and get more out of what we have right now, as opposed to saying, no, let's get the same with less people. Let's try and get more out of what we have. And I think the workforce is buying into this notion. So that'll be the secret here.
So while you reduce your project CapEx, how much more investment being directed towards South Deep? Because you have well capitalized this over the years.
Indeed, we've built most of the infrastructure we need. The big thing now is to resuscitate the new mine development, and we'll get cracking on that by the end of the year. The other thing is we can actually redeploy people from the existing operations, and I think we can actually do that a lot cheaper than what we've done in the past. So we've got to contain the costs. The business model for South Deep is we can't lose money. We've got to make sure that we spend what we make, and at the same time we move it up the curve. But we don't mind if we move a little bit slower.
Yeah.
It's rather do it properly and not chase long-term targets. And that's why I've said we're not going to place long-term targets on the table now. We're going to do year by year, build confidence in the market, build confidence in ourselves again, and then take it from there.
Nick, the next leg to your numbers should be provided by the gold price moving higher and you able to leverage off that rand gold price with higher production on the cards, especially as far as chasing debt targets is concerned. It gives you a chance to knock back debt quite aggressively. What targets have you set on that front?
Well, certainly I would like to try and get at least $300 million off our debt between now and the end of next year. I think that's doable, particularly when you believe that project capital at Gruyere now is going to go from $65 million in the first half to virtually nothing from here. But Damang spent $45 million on the growth project in the first half. That'll halve in the second half. We're seeing production coming from Gruyere into the second half. So certainly, if we could do that, we could get the company back to 1x net debt by the end of next year at the earliest. That'll be a good platform to build from.
Nick, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for your time this evening. That, of course, Nick Holland, CEO of Gold Fields.